long hard days. They don't say God's changed my ways, changed my ways, those evil ways. So I set out across that way to strike them down, to make them pay and change their ways, their evil.
Welcome back. Top of the third hour this Friday, December 27, 2019. Phone lines are open, by the way, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. And I'm sort of focused on this article, in particular the one by Amanda Marcotte over at Salon.com, published on Christmas Day. Hallmark movies are fascist propaganda. Forget Triumph of the Will. The most insidious authoritarian propaganda comes in the form of schmaltz. The most insidious authoritarian propaganda. I don't know about you, but I have watched a few Hallmark Christmas movies in my day, and I feel like there has been a creep away from the morality of old. I think that the Hallmark Channel programming has drifted more in the direction of multiculturalism and cultural Marxism than the viewership would like. If there's an organic outcry to the Zola ad controversy, I think it is along those lines. And there seems to be an authoritarian propaganda push to cause the Hallmark Channel and its viewership to capitulate to exactly what the sort of forces that Amanda Marcotte presumes, I think, ostensibly to speak out against. You know, this year's push on the Hanukkah subject, for example. If you do a search for Hallmark movie Christmas Hanukkah, you'll see New York Times, Forbes, Washington Post, a number of others, you know, the clamor about the Hallmark Channel's running Hanukkah holiday movies, but not Hanukkah enough. Well, I mean, is this what the Hallmark Channel is really, and the family of channels is really all about? I don't think so. I think it's a nice gesture, perhaps, and I'm sure in marketing terms it reaches out to perhaps a new demographic or a broader demographic, but so the Insider article, Hallmark's new Hanukkah holiday movies missed the mark. This is the sentiment. You know, it's not enough. And It's just interesting to me that, you know, there's the marketing side of it, but from just an organic, you know, audience appeal, you would think it'd be a nice gesture. I would think so. I don't get the impression in any of these films that I've seen, and I've seen several, that it is what Amanda Marcotte's try to construe it as. So from her article again, let's see. There was one. Remember which it is. This one? Yeah, maybe. No, maybe not. Mm-mm. I don't think so. No. Can't think of which one it is. I'll figure it out. Oh yeah, I think it was that one. Mistletoe and Menorahs. Is that it? Where they teach each other about Christmas and Hanukkah? I think that might be it. Anyway, I think of that one in particular. Yeah, I think that's it. Mistletoe and Menorahs. Part of the lineup. It's kind of a cute story, you know. She needs to learn about Hanukkah. He wants to learn about Christmas. So they teach each other and, you know, along the way, there's a budding romance. Anyway, from Amanda Marcotte's article. I mean, just, gosh, the language. Instead of characters driven by real feelings, therefore the guiding hand of normalcy. Well, let me back up even a paragraph. Go back a couple paragraphs. When most of us think about fascistically propagandistic movies, we think of the grotesque grandeur of Leni Riefenstahl's films celebrating the Third Reich. Grand but cold sweeping shots of soldiers goose-stepping and flags waving, all meant to inspire awe and terror, kind of like Amanda Marcotte's article, inspiring awe and terror. But the reality is, even in Nazi Germany, she writes, the majority of movies approved by the Nazi Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, were escapist and feather light with a Hallmark movie style emphasis on the importance of normality, quote unquote. Is the Hallmark Channel family of that network, that family of channels, is that the only? It's interesting because Amanda Marcotte seems to think so. I don't see any other articles she's written that seem to target other networks. She's targeting a very specific demographic, it seems, shouting at a certain group of folks who aren't shouting at others. The viewership, again, to make the distinction between the channel and the viewership. Because the propaganda is meant for, you know, an audience. So continuing, the importance of normality. There's plenty of reason that empty-headed kitsch fits neatly in the authoritarian worldview. It's storytelling that imitates the gestures of emotion without actually engaging with real feeling. The Hallmark movie steers clear of the real passion or deeper emotion that tends to be the engine driving more artful fiction. Characters who have real feelings, after all, can prompt empathetic, I prefer empathic, reactions in the audience. And empathy for others is the greatest single threat to the authoritarian mindset. Gosh, that's funny because that's kind of the direction that Amanda Marcotte's article seems to trend, and the opposite is true of the Hallmark Channel programming, at least from my humble opinion. And so Schmaltz, she writes, walks through the paces of love, quote unquote, without touching on any of the messy but compelling realities of it. I disagree. It's, you know, well, I'll get to that in a second. Instead of characters driven by real feelings, therefore, the guiding hand of normalcy pulls the characters along through narratives, and unsurprisingly, that idea of normalcy, quote unquote, doesn't have a lot of room for the true diversity of American experiences. Really? You mean people aren't tribal in nature? Again, as Donna Reed pointed out, And, you know, that kind of tribal mindset constantly vilified. I mentioned in articles in the past, the Afghani people in particular are called out for being fiercely tribal, and they don't trust people in a neighboring village that they don't know. There was a time in America we used to behave that way. But now we have to be, you know, we all have to be global citizens. We have to think globally and act locally, don't we? No, I disagree. Continuing from the article, this much is evident in the efforts to include Jewish characters in recent Hallmark holiday movies, which by all accounts, really, seem like a complete disaster. In part because the rule of normalcy reorients everything toward a very narrow, sentimentalized version of Christmas. The Hallmark Lifetime cinematic universe, Hanukkah and the characters who celebrate it exist only in relation to Christmas. Nancy Coleman of the New York Times complained, adding that the Hallmark movie Holiday Date could, with remarkably little editing, turn into a Jewish Get Out, you know, Jordan Peele's Get Out. Brittany De La Cridaz, writing for the Washington Post, not only complained that the Jewish Hallmark movies were Christmas movies with Jewish characters, but also that the movies rely on some of the oldest anti-Semitic tropes in the book, such as painting one Jewish character as the perpetual outsider who is sneaky, untrustworthy. I didn't get that impression in any of them that I've watched. I've watched a few this year. The drama hinges on Jewish characters being compelled to observe Christmas, and the tension resolves only when these outsiders learn how to participate in or appreciate the dominant religious tradition, she adds. Again, I disagree. One of the films, you know, that, again, Mistletoe and Menorahs is one of the films. I don't particularly care for the creep, you know, the sort of scope creep that has us all cowing to multiculturalism. I don't understand why that's necessary. I mentioned the Eternal World Television Network, EWTN, should they start airing satanic programming to be inclusive? Should they start airing talks by Anton LaVey, perhaps? I mean, just to be inclusive, because that's what's important. Should that happen? Should we all just fold into who decides? You know, if you don't like the Hallmark Channel lineup of movies, don't watch. I don't understand why that's so difficult. There are plenty of channels. You know, one of the callers yesterday mentioned not caring for professional football, which is fine. I don't either, per se. You know, I don't care to pay for the NFL Network and watch that lineup of program. It just seems mindless and inane to me. How long can you talk about things that just absolutely don't matter to really anyone? They really don't matter to anyone. It doesn't change the quality of anyone's life per se. I know that's, you know, I mean, there are millions of people who identify. I mean, obviously, tens of thousands of people go paint themselves in strange colors and, you know, adorn themselves in a variety of ways to do things that don't, I mean, to participate in a herd sort of environment that really doesn't improve the quality of their lives at all, necessarily. I would say, in fact, it's a detriment. But I'm not crusading against it. Like I said yesterday, I don't care for it particularly. That other host on that other network who said that it's kind of like male soap opera, I tend to agree. And it's hard to argue seeing how this dynamic seems to operate and the people who participate in it. Doesn't seem to improve the quality of their lives. I mean, there's a relatability, perhaps, you know, when you can talk about certain teams and people and stuff, but that only goes so far. And it's a very shallow and surface level kind of thing, as far as I can tell. There's really not much depth to it. So maybe it's an icebreaker, perhaps, but that's not how it's treated, and that's the problem. And the broader issues that concern life and people go largely unaddressed. They get a rhetorical sort of address, if anything. There are many other issues I think we could argue that deserve people's attention. But you don't see people out crusading against the end of the NFL. Disband it. Disband the NFL network and all of the related efforts. So then why do we have to crusade against? I mean, I could argue there's a compelling reason to do that when we go back historically and look at what bread and circuses mean. It was the Roman satirist Juvenal, right, who I believe coined the term bread and circuses. About 2,000 years ago. It's something that's been around for a while. It's a concept that's been around for a while. Anesthetizing the masses. For what purpose? Anyway, continuing. Perpetual outsider. Okay, so the drama hinges on Jewish characters being compelled to observe Christmas, and the tension resolves only when these outsiders learn how to participate in or appreciate the dominant religious tradition, she adds. Okay, so should they just get rid of those efforts then? Don't try to lean into the Hanukkah market? Don't do that? Is that what they should do? No, they have to be, you know, they have to, you know, get on the multicultural bandwagon. Really? Is this, again, are folks like Amanda Marcotte preaching to other networks about this too? And you start to see the creep toward the decline of morality. Should we, you know, I appreciate the fact that they don't have young people shouting obscenities at parental characters and things like that. Which again, historically seems to me to lean in the direction that Benjamin Franklin was talking about. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. But we have to define terms, don't we? Which freedom are we talking about? Are we talking about that freedom that Hayek writes about, the one type, because there are the two types of freedom? The great apostles of political freedom, the word had meant freedom from coercion, freedom from the arbitrary power of other men, release from the ties which left the individual no choice but obedience to the orders of a superior to whom he was attached. Is it that freedom? Or is it the kind of freedom that guys like George Bernard Shaw talk about, you know, when he argues that you should be forcibly fed and clothed and so on? You know, this kind of nonsense. The freedom from want, in other words, you know, does it lend itself? Which one does it lend itself to? Anyway, I'll get back to the article when we come back. And I should just let it stand on its own. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. I think we get right to the heart of the matter here in a second, really what the attack and the assault is all about. In articles like Amanda Marcotte's Salon article, Hallmark movies are fascist propaganda. So, the drama hinges on Jewish characters being compelled to observe Christmas, and the tension resolves only when these outsiders learn how to participate in or appreciate the dominant religious tradition. Again, I offer, as Exhibit A, mistletoe and menorahs as a rebuttal to that claim. But just continuing. Sadly, it's hard to imagine it being any other way, Marcotte writes. The qualities that people cite when they defend Hallmark movies, comforting, formulaic, soothing, are all a result of the aggressively conformist impulse that drives them. I mean, quite a soundbite. The aggressively conformist impulse that drives them. It sounds very insidious in nature. And that impulse and fealty to the dominant culture stands in direct contrast to the values of diversity Hallmark facetiously claims to hold. Fealty is quite a... That's quite a... I mean... I just... again, you know, the projection... Basically, that's what Amanda Marcotte's article seems to imply, that she wants everyone to cow to a conformist subjugated sort of view. You know, multiculturalism is the only way. Who is deciding these things? And that sounds more like fealty to me. Her article feels oppressive and fascistic. Authoritarian in nature, dictatorial. That's what fascism is, by definition. Hallmark doesn't sound... The Hallmark Channel movies don't... I don't get the portrayal of authoritarian, dictatorial, even in a schmaltzy sort of way, as Amanda Marcotte implies. Anyway, continuing. The qualities that people cite when they defend Hallmark movies, comforting, formulaic, soothing, are all a result of the aggressively conformist impulse that drives them, and that impulse and fealty to the dominant culture stands in direct contrast to the values of diversity Hallmark facetiously claims to hold. I defy anyone to watch any of the movies on the Hallmark family of channels and find, you know, anything remotely close to what Amanda Marcotte's depiction is here. I'd love to have that conversation with someone like Amanda Marcotte. Hallmark movies, with their emphasis on returning home and the pleasures of the small domestic life, also send a not at all subtle signal of disdain for cosmopolitan and curiosity about the larger world. Cosmopolitanism, excuse me, and curiosity about the larger world, which is exactly the sort of attitude that helps breed that the kind of defensive white nationalism that we see growing in strength in the Donald Trump era. Aha, we've zeroed in. We're getting close, I think. We're getting close. Continuing, she writes, if you don't believe me, listen to authoritarians themselves. I thought I was reading one, so... Ah, I digress. Continuing, at the Federalist, which is Ground Zero website for generating, frankly, fascist culture war arguments. Really? Because I thought Salon was, you know. Anyway. Hans Fein argues that, quote, culturally speaking, Hallmark Christmas movies are noticeably Christian. Oh, my goodness. How dare you? How dare you, sir? How dare you? By this, Fein isn't talking about characters who actually go to church and pray. Even self-identified conservative Christians don't want to see that. But a set of patriarchal and authoritarian values that are more about white evangelicals defining themselves as an ethnic group and not about a genuine feeling of spirituality. Yeah, we wouldn't want people defining themselves as an ethnic group, would we? Oh, wait. Do we have that happening in America anywhere? I thought we... Yeah, I'm not even going to... It's just, oh my goodness. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. This article. Can't help but think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Friday, December 27, 2019. Again, speaking of lessons of history, you know, there's that colloquialism that the chicken and the pig when it comes to breakfast, is it? The chicken is serious, the pig is committed, I think is how that goes. Pig has skin in the game, chicken does not. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was committed, and reading his letters and papers from prison, particularly on the issue of stupidity, this is kind of what I think. I think of this, you know, him writing, upon closer observation, it becomes apparent that every strong upsurge of power in the public sphere, that's what we're talking about with regard to Amanda Marcotte's article, Jeb Lund's article, those kinds of articles that I've mentioned recently. Upon closer observation, it becomes apparent that every strong upsurge of power in the public sphere, the kind that Friedrich Hayek wrote about in The Road to Serfdom, particularly Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, this every strong upsurge of power in the public sphere, be it of a political or a religious nature, infects a large part of humankind with stupidity. The power of the one needs the stupidity of the other. The process at work here is not that particular human capacities, for instance, the intellect, suddenly atrophy or fail. Instead, it seems that under the overwhelming impact of rising power, humans are deprived of their inner independence. Can we feel that in Amanda Marcotte's article? I think so. And more or less, consciously, give up establishing an autonomous position toward the emerging circumstances. The fact that the stupid person is often stubborn must not blind us to the fact that he is not independent. Or in this case, she is not independent. In conversation with him or her, one virtually feels that one is dealing not at all with him as a person, but with slogans, catchwords, and the like that have taken possession of him. He is under a spell, blinded, misused, and abused in his very being. Having thus become a mindless tool, the stupid person will also be capable of any evil and at the same time incapable of seeing that it is evil. This is where the danger of diabolical misuse lurks. For it is this that can once and for all destroy human beings. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote. And if I could digress for a moment and talk about something less colloquially, but is very real and happening in America. Everyone's looking for some kind of quarter. When this sort of upsurge of power in the public sphere, a real, you know, authoritarian, totalitarian, dictatorial, a real fascistic upsurge of power, when it occurs in the public sphere, most people don't want to get mown down by it, and so they seek quarter. And it's ironic how that plays out. And one of the greatest ironies, in my humble estimation, is that while there is a clamor for multiculturalism and, you know, being tolerant and acceptant of those who identify however they seem to identify, at the same time there is that clamor, there has been the effort to vilify folks like, we can celebrate Bruce Jenner saying he's a woman and women are not outraged. I mean, some women are, and rightfully so. I mean, that's just ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. Whatever, you know, if that's a real thing, if that's genuinely how Bruce Jenner feels, fine, that's his thing. I don't care either way. I do think it's ridiculous. But so the world can celebrate that. We're told we are preached at, told we're supposed to celebrate that, while at the same time, Rachel Dolezal is shouted at. And to me, that's ironic because, I mean, I went through that back, I think, in 2013. We talked about her background. I mentioned that, you know, my parents went to school with her parents. Not, you know, a few miles apart. And she grew up in a little town in Montana. And if you understand the dynamics of a family that, you know, in a small town, she saw, you know, a sea of white people, shall we say, in a town of about 1,000 people. And when you see your parents, you know, growing up in a place like that, you see your parents go to another continent thousands of miles away and bring back children that don't look like anyone you've seen in your hometown, per se, and then they're treated differently, like special, basically. If you're a child growing up in that environment, obviously, you know, maybe you think, well, gosh, I wanna be special too. And so it has an impact on people. In a similar sense, people seek quarter. And what I mean by quarter in this case, you know, so why does, I think someone like Rachel Dolezal, if there are folks who really are saying, you know, this sort of diversity is what we should celebrate, when she said, I identify this way, that was a genuine, authentic statement that is rooted in her childhood and her upbringing, as far as I can tell. It was genuine. It was authentic. It's as genuine and authentic. I mean, that, to me, that's courageous. And then you look at what she did at the Spokane NAACP chapter. People that looked at what she had done said, well, actually, she did a really great job. She didn't fall short in her job description. Well, then what was the problem? Because when she says, this is how I identify, that is a sincere statement for her, I believe, based on what I know. Why isn't that celebrated? That seems unfair and hypocritical at the very least, as far as I can tell. If anyone should be celebrated for courage and saying, you know, fine, to present yourself dishonestly is one thing. I understand the issue there, and I'm not discounting that at all. But to be courageous enough to say, this is how I identify, for all of the reasons that we could discuss, I think was a courageous thing for her to do. And she was the one. That should be an emblematic example, I think. If this is really a thing, if we're really going to celebrate diversity in these sorts of ways, why is she not celebrated? Why is she castigated and vilified? Anyway, people seek quarter. In this, the face of this kind of stupidity, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer aptly puts it, the upsurge of power in the public sphere. And one of the places that you see it is in folks, you know, there. I've mentioned this story before. There's a young lady I met in the Ron Paul, the 2008 presidential campaign era. She, her family, she's from a small North Idaho town. Clearly racist. Just kidding. Not everyone in the Idaho Panhandle spent time at the Butler compound, the FBI's COINTELPRO hangout. Her family, she's from a small town in North Idaho, the Idaho Panhandle. Great family, very, you know, loving, conservative folks with a small ranch there, and she seemed like a really level-headed girl. I remember in those years, 2008 presidential campaign era, you know, 2006, 7, 8, 9, talking to her. I remember having coffee with her, and, you know, I was just hopeful for that generation. Maybe there were more of her around, and she could influence her peers, her contemporaries. Maybe that could happen. Maybe it'd be a good thing. And so I was hopeful. You know, she seemed to have her head on straight, and that was great. Then she went to college back east in New York. Things started to, it seemed like things were getting strange. You know, she was on Facebook. You could kind of see what was going on there. And then she came back out to the left coast, the other left coast, and spent some time at a media company, I think, in Seattle. And then she met a guy, and suddenly, now apparently, last I heard, she's crusading for ethnic causes that are not her own. And this is what happens. People try to find quarter in the most unlikely of places. And I think it's tragically unfortunate. But this is, you know, both a harbinger and not a ghost, but it's all part of the ripple effect of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer is talking about. Upon closer observation, it becomes apparent that every strong upsurge of power in the public sphere, be it of a political or religious nature, infects a large part of humankind with stupidity. You know, in the case that I'm talking about, and no particular offense to this young lady, I really, you know, it gives me no pleasure to use that example. But in this case, you can see through the thin veil of the causes she seems to champion in the fact that neither she, well, the you know, her boyfriend has never dealt with the issues that she's shouting about at other people. Least of all has she, you know, let alone her. She has never dealt with these issues that she's talking about. I would say 5 to 7% of the problems that she shouts about at people who care about her. I've seen this over and over. You've probably seen it. People turning on their own family members and friends and loved ones viciously. This is the kind of stupidity that you see. Trying to find quarter. You don't realize what you're doing is you're alienating the people you should be embracing. You know, generally speaking, obviously not in all cases. And so the irony here, when you look at articles like Amanda Marcotte's article over at Salon.com, Hallmark movies are fascist propaganda. The irony is the people, the very people, the audience, the demographic that folks like Amanda Marcotte attack are the same folks who would defend her right to say, to express herself. And that defense would not be reciprocated by the Amanda Marcotes. That is the painful irony. Same irony and the same stupidity of the example that I'm talking about. And that's just one. I can think of others in my own personal experience. I can think of one example of the opposite. You know, young man and woman, similar situation. You know, she's an oppressed minority, only not. And he can't champion her cause enough. But it's not his cause any more than it's hers. It's ludicrous what they're doing. There are real issues. And we do have a real history in America that we should deal with. But these specious efforts, all they do is alienate one another. They don't help to bring understanding. They don't breed compassion or grace or mercy. And I think that's the tragically unfortunate reality of things like Amanda Marcotte's article or Jeb Lund's article over at the Washington Post that I mentioned yesterday. And, you know, if there's any hope, getting back to the hope and, you know, the reason for the season and those kinds of things, if there's any hope in this kind of stupidity, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer aptly puts it, perhaps it is found around Romans chapter 6. You know, Romans chapter 5, verse 20, Paul writes, "The law came in," capital L, "so that the transgression would increase." Oh my goodness, that's a bad thing, right? But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I know, I'm not supposed to say that. Hans Fein argues that, culturally speaking, Hallmark Christmas movies are noticeably Christian. The Amanda Marcotes find that deeply offensive, I understand. So Paul writes in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Final segment coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping.
Didn't hear anything there for a second. Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Friday, December 27, 2019, as we go into the weekend, I've spent most of today's broadcast focused on Amanda Marcotte's article over at Salon.com, Hallmark Movies Are Fascist Propaganda. And just trying to point out the broader cultural and societal implications of this kind of rhetoric and actually propaganda, ironically. Does she realize that what she's writing is propaganda? And it is of a particular bent. I was just wondering, actually, haven't looked, but what would we find if we viewed Amanda Marcotte's Twitter feed? I can only imagine. The author of Troll Nation. I would imagine it's you know, it's ironic. I mentioned the Edward Gallagher story, and she tweeted earlier today, "This is a guy Trump views as a hero, a man so sociopathic and violent, at least by media depiction, that he rattled Navy SEALs, bringing them to tears." And do you really think that's not sensationalized? Anyway, so she posted the New York Times article, Anguish, or the link to the article, Anguish and Anger from the Navy SEALs who turned in Edward Gallagher. The irony for the Amanda Marcotte is that she, again, like I said earlier, she and Edward Gallagher are not terribly dissimilar. I mean, she's not out murdering and assassinating people as has been implied. Edward Gallagher is a, but you know, we have all kinds of hypocrisy in America, don't we? Edward Gallagher is considered a war criminal, and how dare Donald Trump meet with him at Mar-a-Lago again? I'm not an apologist for Gallagher or Trump, but I think it's interesting how no one seems to notice when someone like a Tulsi Gabbard meets with Henry Kissinger, who's considered a war criminal by many, including myself, and suddenly she sounds polished. She sounds like an entirely different person within a matter of days or weeks, not even months. She's a darling all of a sudden as well. So I guess war criminals are not all created equal, as it turns out, at least not in the American lexicon and vernacular. But I just think that before we go careening entirely over the edge of the cliff, if we haven't already, maybe we should step back and get hold of ourselves and our senses, lest we be led to the slaughter, driving ourselves along the way. Because, you know, again, as Jordan Peterson pointed out, and, you know, the clip we played of Stafford Beer talking about control being built in, it's something, it's self-imposed. Tyranny is always self-imposed. And that reminds me of that quote Lark in Texas reminds us of time to time. You know, the best form of tyranny is always that which is ignorantly self-administered. And that, to me, is the same kind of stupidity Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote about, and the same kind of ignorant self-administering of the kind of fascism that the Amanda Marcotte would presume to speak out against. Anyway, food for thought. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you're able to visit with family and friends and loved ones and finish out this holiday season. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Take care. God bless. Catch you on the other side.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN,
The Republic Broadcasting Network.